So I'd like to begin with a hearty Mazel Tov to everyone, because we're here. The world did not end. For those of you who perhaps have not turned on the TV or radio, yesterday, according to the ancient Mayan calendar, was supposed to be the end of the world. Actually, the calendar just ends. Everyone decided that that meant the end of the world, but that's neither here nor there. But as we think about it, I want to tell three Jewish stories that all have to do with kind of end-of-the-world-like stuff. The first goes all the way back to Joseph. Joseph, in this week's Parsha, in fact, we just read it, takes control as Pharaoh's number two, and in order to govern the famine time, where there were 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, he basically confiscates all of Egypt. Egypt is privately owned, and he basically takes all the land, all the livestock, and makes everyone grow the food that he tells them to, and then he collects it and stores it so that they survive the world. And at the end, the people call him their savior. The Egyptians call Joseph their savior. You have saved us from the end of the world. But remember how that ends for the Jews. Yes, we do survive the famine, and that is wonderful. But relatively soon after, we have several hundred years of tyrannical, oppressive slavery. Not our best time in Jewish history. Fast forward to about 132 CE, about 1,500, 1,700 years later, the Second Temple has been destroyed. Jews are living in the hills. It's the same amount of time after the destruction of the Second Temple as it was after the destruction of the First Temple when Jews got to rebuild the Temple. So Jews believe it's time now for Temple number 3. We have a leader, Bar Kokhba, who raises an army of super soldiers. These soldiers, to get into his army, you have to be able to rip a Lebanon cedar out of the ground with your bare hands. Let's pretend that's true. His army, though, and before that, Rabbi Akiva, one of our greatest sages, declares to the world, Bar Kokhba is our Messiah. Bar Kokhba is the Messiah. So Joseph was called Messiah or Savior by the Egyptians because he was the political leader. Bar Kokhba is a military leader and is called the Messiah and fails terribly. After his defeat, people, Jews, are no longer allowed in Jerusalem at all except one day a year when on Tisha B'Av were marched before the temple to see its destruction. Total defeat, it's a disaster, a false Messiah. Fast forward another 1,500 years to about the year 1666. It had a Y2K feel to it. The world was going to implode because it was 1666. And our own Messiah rose up again, this one by the name of Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi was said to be the mystical Messiah. He, in fact, said, in order to be saved, we all have to sin. He started saying blessings over eating treif. He would organize terrible acts of sinning. He said, we have to, through the sinning, we will become purged, we will be cleaned. We will then be able to be saved. His term as the Messiah ended when he was captured by the Muslim army and forced to convert to Islam. That was one more that the Jewish people could handle, and he was discredited as a Messiah and led to a lot of people who sold everything they owned in order to move to Jerusalem who were left with nothing. So I tell these three stories, none of which end upliftingly, as a reminder that we as a people are used to the end of the world. As a people, we've had this experience several times, and we've had someone come around to be our savior, some one perfect thing that was going to save everything, and it never works. So what was interesting to me is, why did we need saving each of these times? It seemed each of these times that the world was in disarray. Famine, the destruction of the temple, the expulsion from Spain. That's what made these end-of-the-world lores come about. That's what gave them traction. So So there are plenty of times when the world might end. So why did this Mayan thing take root today? And I believe it is a byproduct of one of the greatest gifts that mankind has given itself. And that's the internet. Give me a minute. The internet has produced what we call the information age. You can have the answer to any question, not even at your fingertips anymore. If you've seen the new Google Talk commercial, where that lovely young mom makes her child into Martin Van Buren in 14 seconds on the way to school, because of Google, you can just speak to the wall, to our phone, to our computer, and suddenly the answer pops up. But the truth is, rarely do we get the answer. We get, if you read the bottom, 1,972 answers. And if you give it another 10 seconds, another 1 million answers. What we got is information. What we missed is meaning. This Mayan thing has taken root because people want to hold on to something hard, something consistent, something that is not liquid, something that is not 1 million answers, but is an answer. And I think ultimately that's why you're sitting here today. And what your job is to share with your friends, your family. We in Judaism have what to say about that. What I'm selling from up here is meaning. Yes, we're Jews. We often have three answers for every half a question. Maybe we share that with Google. But each answer is time-tested. Each answer is meant to drive at the core of who we are. Each answer is meant to bring us closer together as a community and closer together to that which is ultimate, to God. So as we approach the end of the year, as we survive this latest apocalypse, I wish each of us a new year full of meaning, of sorting through answers for an answer. Shabbat Shalom.